be crazy. If I believe that, I got to get my passport and go somewhere. I got to find me a place that's not Christian. I don't want to live among Christians. All of them are my enemies. I don't want to live among them. Now, what the hell are you all come here from? Jordan and Syria, Lebanon, and Egypt, and Pakistan, and India. What the hell are you all coming over here for to be among all these enemies? Nothing wrong with them. Something's terribly wrong with them. And I don't see you over here setting up mosques. And I don't see you over here defeating these enemies. All I see you doing is joining them to go in my pocket. So this must be a scheme of theirs that they want to sell to one people, African Americans. Yes, I believe that they have targeted only one people for that kind of teaching, the African Americans, so they can eliminate 30 million of us from the competition. So they say, well, we got 30 million of them eliminated. All we got to do is compete with the other 200 million or so of Americans. We've eliminated 30 million. They ain't in the competition. Well, I thank God that they just can't mess us up enough to make us buy that lie. Only a very few of us will buy lies like that. The Christians are kafirs. All the Jews are kafirs. All the Christians are kafirs. Well, who are the people of the book? Who are the people who got food that I can eat? Allah speaks in our holy book that there are people who believe, who have faith in God, and their food is permissible for me to eat if I don't have my own food. Now, where are they? Boy, I'm telling you, this world is strange. So here we have the lies, the propaganda, the false propaganda, the misconceptions from the Crusades, from colonial domination, but we also have them from our deceitful leaders, our so-called Muslim leaders. They can only get a few, though. They don't have the many. I travel a lot in these United States. I meet a lot of people from different parts of the world because I'm your leader. And Allahu Akbar. And I also have had the opportunity to visit countries, and I'm still visiting countries abroad. And I have some knowledge of the state, the spiritual state of the Muslim world. The Muslim world, not satisfied with this Islam as it is being given today by most of the popular leaders. They're not satisfied with the Islam that they have in their countries. And in most places, they don't have much Islam in their countries. The governments are afraid of Islam. The Muslim government, so-called Muslim government, they are afraid of the religion of Islam. Without naming any particular nation, anytime there's a Muslim nation that's known in the international world as a criminal nation, a nation of thieves, hijackers, highway robbers, murderers, dope sellers, dope dealers. I'm talking about a Muslim nation numbering in the millions. A Muslim nation got that kind of reputation today. So where is the religion of Islam for the citizens of that nation? It's locked up. It's persecuted. It's denied them by a strong force of gangsters. Yes. Now, someone coming from a nation like that to America and having nothing to say to me but negative things about America, right away I'm angered. Right away, I can't help it. Right away I'm angered because I know that this is not a true Muslim talking to me. A true Muslim would be saying, Brother Muhammad, I want you to know that Allah has blessed you all with a better situation in this non-Muslim country than we have in our own Muslim country. Then that would be a sincere person. But to come and tell me negative things about America, turn me against America, and his whole nation looked like the crime syndicate. And the crime syndicate is just a part of the American scene. It ain't the whole scene. But the crime syndicate is the whole scene for his country. Ain't nothing there but crime. Crime dominating, crime ruling everywhere. All of this burdens the soul of the Muslim world. When you would ask a Muslim, is so-and-so a Muslim? And I don't care how notorious that criminal is. If he calls himself a Muslim, or if he's known in the public or in the media as a Muslim, oh yes, he's a Muslim.
Yes.
Yes, he's a Muslim, brother. He's a Muslim. Don't speak out against our brother. Muslims are not supposed to speak, not another Muslim, brother. No matter how notorious he is as a criminal, as long as he say, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. That's enough. In the days of the Prophet, the person who came back and said that criminal was a Muslim would be killed on the spot. Or he would have to give his word that he'd go back and kill that person. If he didn't give his word to go back and kill that person, he'd be killed on the spot. The line. So we have no really popular, healthy opinion in the Muslim societies of the world, do we? Where is the healthy opinion for Muslims? Any and everything goes as long as it's against the West. You can be dirty, nasty, filthy, diseased, liar, thief, don't push it, be anything. Just be against the West, hand it alive. Great Muslim leader, great Muslim brethren, support your great Muslim brethren. And you don't have to agree with everything I'm saying here, because I'm leaving history and getting into my observations. That's the popular picture I've given you. That's the popular picture. But there is a Muslim revival going on. There is a resurgence of Islam that is happening in the world. Oh, yes. Allahu Akbar. But it's not published like the notorious ones are published. You won't get any primetime media to bring them to you. You have to hear about them on the Sincere Muslim grapevine. Or you just have to be around where they are to know what they are doing. In Iran, even in Iraq, in all parts of Africa, Asia, everywhere, there are Muslims that are thinking very seriously about their religion and how to get back to its original purity. There are scholars and just ordinary common thinkers, common sense thinkers. That has been going on now in a very impressive way ever since the rise of Khomeini, Imam Khomeini. Yes. So we do have the rising of a new Muslim leadership in the world, but we haven't yet seen them become popular enough for us to know them. They are not popular enough yet for us to know them. And you'll find that they are the ones who are not pointing to the differences so much as to the similarities. For Islam and the true sciences. For Islamic sincerity and Christian sincerity. For Islamic sincerity and Jewish sincerity. They are pointing to the similarities, not so much to the differences. To the differences. There are Muslims now very highly educated. They're meeting together and forming groups devoted to the study of true Islam and the West, looking for the compatibility, the agreement, the similarities. And the news of their findings are reaching some of the policymakers in the West. And some of them are beginning to study Islam too. The social idea in Islam, the political idea in Islam, and particularly the economic idea in Islam, to see if maybe this religion that we have not known, but took for granted, may have something to offer Western civilization that may strengthen it more and give it a promise for a longer future, a greater future. This is happening right now. This is serious business. I myself heard a powerful Western thinker say that maybe Islam might have something to contribute to our economic system. What makes America so special and great is that America never believes that she has been all she could be. America is an idea, a country in progression. It is a country in evolution. Even its idea is an idea in progression. It's an idea in evolution, an idea that is evolving and evolving and evolving. Look at how the leaders of America, of our government, before the Union was formed, the Confederacy, look at how it regarded its public. Look at how it regarded its subjects. And then look how, after the Union, a certain mindset survived that didn't respect the African American or the black citizen, didn't give him equality with other citizens. And gradually, the nation changed, and they themselves followed the direction for change that was expressed or implied in the Constitution of the United States, at least the preamble to the Constitution of these United States, and the black heroes of our freedom struggle, Frederick Douglass and others, along with the abolitionists. They pointed to language in the idea of the government, in the idea of this nation. They pointed to that language, and upon that language they stood. Upon that language they established their argument. Upon that language. Something in the Constitution gave support to those people. Something in the Constitution gave support to us being free. And we are free. Constitution-wise, we're free. And something gave support, from that Constitution of the United States, gave support for them to establish equal opportunity in employment. That everyone is to have equal opportunity in the employment. All of this has been born out of the document we call the United States Constitution. It is an elastic constitution. The preamble to that constitution sets the stage. It sets the stage for what should follow and what should not follow. So when laws are written into the Constitution, clauses are put into the Constitution that go against, that are discovered later, that went against the language of the founders, the founding fathers, then those clauses are questioned. And in turn, those clauses are abrogated, done away with, by new clauses that are more consistent with the original purity, the intent of the founding fathers. So the Constitution denied us both voting rights, made property the condition for voters. If you had no property, you weren't supposed to vote. Many things happened to deny us our freedom. Women were not allowed to vote. They were seen as not having the right to vote. And they had to wait too a long time before they got their rights. But something, a power, an original purity, in the language of the founding fathers, set the stage for all these great things to happen and for the evils to be removed. This is the Constitution of the United States of America. Precious document. Very precious document. We know that not only Muslims, good Christians, and just good citizens, they don't like what has developed in the name of the separation of church and state. This secular world and secularism that seems to be getting more and more approval and growing bigger and bigger over our lives, over our religious lives. This is not something that's welcomed by decent religious people. They don't like it that sin has more presence on television than holiness. They don't like it that the shopping districts invite more wrong than right. They don't like that, and we don't like it. So we should look not at our differences. We should look to see where and what measure are we the same. Christians worship God and love God, we do too. Christians believe life should reflect faith in God, we do too. Christians want to preserve a God-fearing world, a God-fearing environment, so that their children will come up knowing God. We do too.